Surfboard. Surfboard. Riding on that. Big riding on that. Please do not use that.
Hello, you guys, and welcome to We're Potting This Together. It's the podcast where we guide you through all of your favorite or not so favorite Disney Channel original movies. Thanks for listening, you guys. I'm Josh.
I'm Lori.
And I'm Sammy.
And grab your surfboards because today we're taking a look at Rip Girls.
Rip Girls is about a 13-year-old who learns to surf while visiting Hawaii for the first time to see a plantation she inherited from her dead mom.
I didn't want to watch this movie after I read that description.
I didn't want to watch this movie after I watched this movie.
Oh, no. Have any of us seen this movie before?
I have. I remembered none of it. Not a second.
Same. I didn't know that I had seen it before. And then a few scenes came on. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I have.
It's weird because the character, okay, like, I don't have a dead mom and I've never surfed, but like, I felt like from the outset, like, her with her glasses and everything, like, she is a character that I should have been super stoked to identify with, and they kind of killed that pretty quick.
Yeah, I felt like they were trying to do that too. Like, I don't know. I just didn't find a way to really connect with her. Another movie about surfing, huh?
It was basically Johnny Tsunami.
Okay, no. You guys had said that going into this to tell me what it was about, and aside from surfing, there's 0% Johnny Tsunami in this.
Yeah. But what about the weird dad relationship thing?
This was like a very different weird dad relationship thing.
Okay,
anyway, like if you're gonna,
they're surfing.
If you're gonna say that everything with the weird parent relationship is Johnny Tsunami, then literally like every DCOM we've watched so far is Johnny Tsunami.
Just saying, we've only gotten so far into the DCOM fandom realm, and we've already had two surfing movies in Hawaii,
and also Kona. That's his name, right? Skateboards. So it's also Brink meets Johnny Tsunami.
And dead mom, so smart house.
Yes.
Trivia for this movie. Apparently this was filmed in Australia.
There's also a connection. The girl's name is Sydney, and it was filmed in Australia.
That's literally the only reason they filmed there. She refused to be anywhere else. She was a total diva.
Mm-hmm. Her name's Camilla Bello, and she's gone on to do, like, quite a few things now. She was just in, like, Jurassic Park, but just came out, Jurassic World. And 10,000 BC and a bunch of other movies that you probably heard of.
This came out in April of 2000. I think it's like our third movie to take place in 2000. So they were like pumping them out this year.
Yeah, I think it's like one a month for the next couple of years.
That's nuts. Really?
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. I wonder who's coming up with these ideas. Like, I know it's not one specific person, but like, who was the one in charge at Disney Channel who was, like, giving the green light to these projects and planning them out? I want to know who that was.
I feel like maybe there's just, like, they have to do a Halloween movie. They have to do a not white people movie. A location, so, like, Hawaii, Vermont, etc. Like, an extreme sports one. Like, we're seeing, like, a definite trend.
I think Vermont counts as a location as anywhere else would count as a location.
Okay, well, I was thinking that movie, like,
they
started...
have to do a location in Vermont.
Like, you guys are the ones defending Vermont in that episode.
That logic, like, Smart House has a location.
I mean, like, a lot of them are pretty contained, though, where they'll take place, like, in one building.
Yeah.
So they're oh, not only are we getting out of one room, we're in a different state.
Yeah. I feel like that is a trend where, like, a few of them are really just, like, simple as can be in a, like, one set type of situation. And then the other ones are like, we're going to film in Australia for all these surfing scenes.
This movie opens with a child named Sydney and her family on a plane. And I think there's like a voiceover. And Sydney is like, that's my stepmom. This is my dad. I like computers and taking pictures of things.
So they get to this like dope, this house. That house, it reminded me of Charmed when they first got there. And it was funny because I think in one of the, like, the first episode of Charmed, they were not aware that they were witches and stuff. There's like a cat in the house that I think they followed or like gave them signs or something. And the same thing happened in this. So I was like, she's going to be a witch. This is going to be cool. And it was wrong.
I was expecting Hawaiian magic. Okay, yeah. Within the first part of this movie, I was interested. Like, I was like, okay, this kind of quiet, laid-back character, I can feel her. She's totally cool. I get it, the whole picture thing. The whole, like, having parents who are like, sit down. And going somewhere magical where she can just explore and follow cats around. Sounds great.
Yeah, I definitely identified with her at first, where she was like, I wish I could do these, like, super cool things, but I'm too scared, but I have my computer, and that's pretty cool. Oh, hey, a cat. Yes. Like, all of that
was... I was like, that's real. Yeah. So she gets to the plantation, which she apparently is inheriting. The real estate slash lawyer dude, Bo, comes along, and he's like, yo, I'm here, I'm totally chill, laid back, I had to go to the beach first. But I'm here. Let's talk about this will. And they go through the will and...
In what world is it legal for a 13-year-old to own property? Wouldn't, like... I mean, I can understand her inheriting it, like, when she turns 18. Like, it's a trust and...
I feel like probably Dad had final say, but it seemed like, despite how against... Not against how hesitant he was and scared of her knowing about her mom and stuff and how kind of still brokenhearted he was, that he was still pretty, he wanted to make sure she got the say in it, even if legally, like, he could be like, no, we're not doing what you want to do. That's ridiculous.
Oh, and it totally felt like they kind of had prepped her for this, like, oh, you know, we're just going to Hawaii to, you know, check out the house, you know, sell it, whatever, and then go back home. But things, her world starts to open up. And while they're talking about the will, she finds a photo book and it has like photos of her past family and her mother. And we kind of find out she knows literally nothing about her mom.
I would like in most cases say that that was like really messed up for the dad to do, but it did seem like he, like the mom died in a pretty quick accident. It wasn't like she was sick for a long time, so it doesn't seem like he's over her. So he just kind of has to like put that in a separate place in himself so he can give his current wife and like love her. And so like it sucks, but like, yeah.
I didn't think this was all like, I didn't feel like we were supposed to blame him. I felt like they treated it kind of well. Like he's a victim kind of everything that happened just as much as she is.
Yeah, like we're also not supposed to think that he handled it the best way, but it seemed like a very human reaction, which is cool.
Yeah, it kind of it didn't feel forced in this movie, at least.
Sydney chases a cat within the cat, and I think we were kind of supposed to think that the cat was like embodying her mom's spirit or something. And the cat leads her to like a barn on the property, and she finds a surfboard and runs into a girl named Gia.
Surfboard. Sydney really wants to go to the beach. After all, they are in Hawaii. But her dad's like, no, you can't go to the beach. We're going hiking. You know, like, the beach is not safe. And,
It's funny because I feel like this is one where I'm very aware that I'm watching it as an adult. Because I know if you were a kid, you're like, God, this dad's being so overprotective. And then as an adult, I'm like, his first wife died surfing. She doesn't know how to surf. She shouldn't go there alone. That's very dangerous. Like, as an adult, the dad makes complete sense. He may not have, like, expressed it appropriately, but, like, what he was saying were real good rules to have in place for his daughter, who's never swam before, we're led to kind of believe. Like,
yeah.
I think she swam before, but...
But, I mean, like, not in the... Like, it seemed like she... It wasn't a strong...
Oh, yeah. He even says, like, she doesn't know anything about riptide knowledge.
Yeah, I get where the dad's coming from 100%.
He doesn't know the kid, like, this girl she met either. Like, it could just be anyone. Mm-hmm. So she compromises and says, I'll just take pictures, okay? Just take photos.
course, since she told her dad she wasn't going to surf, she will absolutely surf, and cute boys show up, and...
Oh, then they have that cool surf house little shack thing. They're like, mm-hmm. Yeah, we just totally made it out of stuff we found in the beach. They're like, yeah.
Which, there's like 4 surfboards there, so they're just straight up probably stealing these from people. Okay, who was the binocular guy? Who was the binocular guy?
I don't know.
Did they ever resolve that?
There was some random guy in the bushes looking at her.
Like, I thought it was going to be the stepmom, but I don't think they told us.
It was just a really quick, like, what, 10-second clip of someone with binoculars looking at her.
Let's pretend it was Gia's mom, because I feel like that is the best case scenario.
Okay, good.
She's showering, which, like, the stepmom picked up her clothes, and I half expected her, like, it's clear she was surfing. But, like, I think that was meant to show us that, like, the stepmom was on her side, because she didn't say, like, clearly these clothes were in the ocean.
Yeah, you didn't, like, know how to feel out the stepmom before this, so this is the part where you're like, okay, the stepmom's normal. She notices that the dad's being a little crazy with his demands here.
There are 2 real estate people, and they want to sell, I think. I don't understand what was happening with that.
They weren't really explained. They were just like 2 agents or looking to purchase / make a deal.
They have this whole model of like this gorgeous resort. Super fancy.
Yes.
And the insinuation here was that if they're like, oh, it's a closed beach, so like nobody would get to surf on the beach that they currently surf at, and everything would be destroyed.
I mean, the people said, no, we're up for negotiations. Like, you can set the rules here for how you want this to happen.
Yeah, anytime somebody's like, that seems too good to be true, which means it probably was. They'd be like, yeah, of course your friends can still use it. We find out that Gia's mom knew Sydney's mom, and they were best friends, almost sisters.
Gia's mom, I guess, takes Sydney on a hike or something, is that right? And they go to see the cove that her mom frequented.
They get back home, and Gia's mom, I think, goes inside, and Dad gets really upset, which... it makes sense yet again, because, like, she went off. She was gone forever. She was clearly lying about surfing. She's bleeding. She didn't go to a doctor. They went hiking afterwards. She's with somebody who's a stranger to her. Like, everything lines up to, like, yeah, your parents would be kind of upset and worried for you.
Yeah. I think the dad had a reason to be mad, yes. But he started taking it out on Gia's mom.
I think she deserved his anger there to an extent, because, like, she...
Really?
His daughter was hurt pretty badly, and, like, she just took her without... You tell... If you have somebody's kids, you tell them.
Here's why I'm defending Gia's mom. Because she noticed there was something wrong going on in this little girl's life that she didn't even know who her mother
okay,
was.
Okay, but she's not and, the like, parent, though.
That's not really fair to her.
So I agree with you that, like, she deserved to know all of that, but it wasn't Gia's mom's place to make that decision or to not let her dad... Like, for all he know, like, she was gone. This was, like, she obviously didn't call him to let them know where they were, so his daughter just disappeared. And then, like, he's probably thinking the worst happened, so then to have her show up and, like, have a wound on her head, like, of course he's gonna be irate.
Well, yeah, but you know what? It's not all about him. People who worry a lot like to think that it's all about them and that everyone has to report to them and that they have to know everything that's going on. But you know what? It's not about you. You have to learn to worry less about other people.
Bad okay, stuff but happens. You can't his wife died.
It was a long time ago, and he couldn't even stay there long enough to, I don't know, have like a real closure. And he just took a baby and left. I understand it was really hard on him, but like...
It seems like mom had roots there and had grown up there, so maybe he, like, had traveled there to be with her, like, and that was going to be his life, and then all of a sudden that's taken from him, so, like, he went back to presumably be with his family. I think he's in the wrong for not telling her and not getting over that stuff, but I do think that, like, Gia's mom was out of line.
How could you be mad at your wife's best friend, your dead wife's best friend for...
It would have been different if like, Gia's mom would have went to the dad and spoken to him. Because, like, once...
You want
to
hash this out? You want to take this out on the street, Lori?
I think you're wrong.
Let's go. I think you're wrong.
Then let me finish a fucking sentence to tell you why, Mr. Hyperpants.
No, women don't deserve to finish sentences.
So that's on the recording.
Oh my gosh. Why can I not get through this movie? I feel like I'm in middle school.
Because it was so boring.
So... My point that I was going to make is that, like, once stuff started happening, first of all, we have the fact that Sydney's dad was willing to let her be the one to make the decision. Like, he was telling her kind of where he wanted to go, but, like, when it came down to it, he was like, it's up to you. So, like...
And they still took her there, let her see everything, and...
Yeah, so yeah. I think if Gia's mom had gone to Sydney's dad and been like, hey, I don't think it's fair that she doesn't know who her mom is... And gone about it in a way where she was letting him know what was going on.
In these Disney movies, they like to let the lead character just walk around without their parents for days on end. Probably just to make it an interesting movie, but I get it. It would have made more sense if she was like, by the way, your daughter fell while surfing in the ocean that you're terrified of.
She might be concussed.
Work some things out.
Good luck.
This is when we kind of also see the stepmom, who's like, she's obviously upset about this because she realizes how much she's having to, like, compete, or like how much energy he's spending on his dead wife. I don't know her name.
So I don't think that we find out specifically. We knew the nickname, but I think they only said it like once. It seems like it's hard on her because, like, dad probably just suppressed feelings rather than dealing with them. So, like, once they're here, she's like, whoa, you clearly did not deal with this. And this is not a good place for me to be right now. Sydney goes back to the beach and Kona drew a portrait of her because he's a super great artist.
Aww.
They go to a half house, half ghost. And they take a horse, a half horse, half human there. It was a centaur. And they're like, this place used to have luau's and campfires and full horses, full humans, and it's just not what it used to be.
Oh, this is also where she's like, she vaguely remembers one of the rooms being her mother's room. And she's like, I don't know how, but I know this is where my mother and me were when I was a child.
Is this the part where she goes to Kona and she looks like he said something pretty profound and she's like, you're a poet. And I didn't even expect it. I was like, that's not how that line goes.
I think it was around there, yeah.
There was actually a joke on Brooklyn Nine-Nine where, like, there's a stern officer on there where he's like, I am a poet, and I was not aware of it.
I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine, by the way.
I think this is when they like, got the actual proposal for the property, and they were like, yeah, this is going to be... huge numbers. You should take this now. You have 24 hours.
I understand that they don't say numbers in movies just because, like, it dates it and all of that, but it drives me nuts. I was like, are we talking like $1 billion or $1 million or $100 million? Or because he's like, oh, I'll never make that teaching, which is setting the bar pretty low. Like, anyway.
Sydney gets in trouble with her dad. Things are not going well for her. Yeah, I guess she wasn't grounded or anything.
She was gone for a while. She went to, like, a luau and was basically gone all day. They see some whales. She does some kissing. The boys, not the whales.
Oh, yeah. She made out with a boy. We skipped a whole thing here.
They saw whales. They were beautiful CGI whales jumping. Oh, it was pretty.
Her dad was mad because she was gone. Like, basically all, like, she left when it was during the day and came home and it was very dark, so obviously he's like, this is not the first time this has happened. I'm still not sure you don't have a concussion. You need to, like, let me know where you are.
Yeah, at this point I totally understand why the dad is getting a little annoyed here,
but they have a nice talk. It's kind of that typical decom resolution of the relationship where they learn it's like one music playing hug away from being full house.
Photoshops herself with a photo of her mom, which I thought was a little odd, but, like, I guess it's cute.
I thought it was funny how she, like, leaned back and, like, admired her work and was like, mm-hmm.
Oh, oh my gosh. Okay, things got boring. But then drama happens in this movie.
At the very end.
At the very, very end. When you think this movie is actually done, that's when stuff starts happening. So all of the friends hear about how they were kind of considering selling this huge property.
Well, it was on the cover of a newspaper. They're like, resort coming to blah, blah, blah.
Obviously one of those things where someone heard it somewhere and they got the loose details and they published it. I mean, it wasn't everyone on the island kind of heard about Sydney and that city was coming and that she was kind of the heiress.
Things go around the island. Plantation.
But when her friends find out, they kind of shun her. They're like, how could you decide to do this and turn this, everything that we have, into a tourist resort instead of this cool, totally chill place we got here?
Gia is pretty peeved.
From Sydney's standpoint, it all made sense. She's like, we put it in the contract, like, they're going to have a wildlife observatory where they're making sure that there's specific areas that are protected and the beaches are going to be open. It's just going to be a resort here. Like, would it change it that much?
Sydney finds Kona after, like, Gia storms off, and she's kind of hesitant to walk up to him. She's like, I didn't know we were talking. He's like, isn't that what we're doing right now?
He obviously had a crush on her as well, and he was, like, carving that drawing he made into the surfboard. This guy goes all out, and he's carving the sketch onto a surfboard. Sydney ends up finding Gia, and it does not go well.
So, like Pangea, they come together.
They do. They come together. No. Actually, no. They're floating very far apart right now. They have a huge fallout when Sydney kind of realizes that Gia and her mother were kind of trying to, not force, but like, be present in Sydney's life to kind of influence her decision about building a resort there. I want to see you again. You suck. Go away. Bye. I'm going to leave and sell this place and make my millions of dollars. Goodbye. End of the movie. Thanks for listening.
No. What really happens is Gia rage surfs and she's surfing alone and Kona's like, obviously she wouldn't go surfing alone. And I feel like that was kind of a little like disclaimer or something, like a liability thing for Disney, where they're like, despite everything in this movie, don't surf alone, kids. Only you can prevent surfing fires.
420 play Disney 411. That was a thing though, right? When did that start? Disney 411.
Disney 411 plays it.
It was a cool thing. I think it was more for like feature films though.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Disney 411.
Yeah, let's just sing it again.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Disney 411.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
We'll have to look that up for next time.
Anyway.
They find Gia after a while, and she's surfing alone. She is, like, drowning and stuff, or she hurt her arm, and they save her, Conan. And he's like, hold on, stay right here, don't move, don't move. So I thought he was getting, like, paramedics or something. Instead, he just comes back with a blanket.
Oh, God. Okay, this whole time, from the scene, from a way back scene, we didn't know if Sydney had signed the paper or not. So we were left in that kind of, like, suspense.
We knew she didn't. There was nothing. They didn't tell you, but, like, it's...
They spent so much time of her waiting and not able to sign it that you kind of knew. So all of this... all of these problems she had with her friends could have been avoided by being like, you guys, I didn't sign it. Woo, the end.
Yeah, she did like this whole thing where she was like, oh, I almost forgot. I have a thing to tell you. I didn't sign it. And it's like, that was...
Yeah.
You buried like, the you lead there. You
just said that. And are there snakes in Hawaii?
I'm assuming so.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's more...
Yeah, there's snakes. Okay. There's many snakes in Hawaii.
Sydney lets everyone know she did not sign the papers, and her family are like, oh, let's just like make a life here, like we won't have the money, but we can like maybe I'll teach her and stuff,
which I appreciate that he's letting Gia make this decision, but like best case scenario, that dude from the beginning who was in Men in Black. I don't remember his name. Bo. So ideally, I think Bo and like Gia's mom and stuff maybe could take care of the plantation while Sydney and her family went back home and like figured out what they were going to do. And then maybe when she turned 18, she could go to college in Hawaii and something like that. Not like, that would okay, make more sense. Giving up my career. It seems like the stepmom, at least, like she designed clothes for a company and that could probably be done remotely. But like, Hawaii is a different beast than doing it from a different state. Like, it's a different state, but it's not.
I understand that it was part of the pacing of the plot to keep the audience in the dark as well, but we really missed a chunk of, like, the motivation here when they didn't show her not signing the papers and how, like, the parents reacted. How did the parents react? Were they just like, oh, okay, that's cool. We'll figure this out. We'll move here, too. We'll...
Yeah, they
get
didn't
this, or...
give us a chance to work it out. Instead, there was, like, one line of her family being like, we'll make it work. But I did like the end, where she's out on her surfboard, and she's like, something, 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 aloha. I was like, yeah, okay.
She says, I don't know if I'm saying goodbye or if I'm saying hello, but either way, it's aloha. The end.
Her options in this movie were be extremely rich or live in Hawaii on her own plantation with her friends. It's like, which do I choose?
Yeah, so there was no risk and there wasn't anything else great going on.
There was no threat, yeah, aside from maybe experiencing something new. And
the biggest threat is that Kona's cast got wet and it's probably stinky as heck.
Yeah, it's probably a real turn on when Sydney's making out with him with that cast.
Going off that mood, were there any lessons you guys learned? I would say I learned it's good to step out of your comfort zone and try some new things if that's something you want to do. You might learn something completely about yourself that you didn't know before. What'd you guys learn?
I learned that if you see a cat, you should follow it because you'll find a surfboard.
This movie, I didn't learn anything.
I need you to find a life lesson in this movie. You've been too much 420 blaze it. Your mind doesn't work like a youngin's anymore.
Sammy learned that she was a poet and did not expect it.
I learned that.
I'm waiting. You don't have to have learned anything. I want you to, but...
I didn't learn anything. This movie provided no substance.
Did you come into it liking it?
I really don't remember it at all. So I came into it with zero expectations. And I didn't actively hate it like I did Up, Up, and Away. I was just bored the whole time.
So I'm going to read an IMDb review from...
Yes, let's talk about the ratings.
The title of this review is Dear God, Could It Be Worse? This is from Einhard One from Parma, Ohio.
Ouch.
From 2006. Having three kids under the age of 9, I have seen more Disney Channel movies than probably any man alive. Josh, would you like to...
Yeah. We're going to have to argue with you there, but... Yeah.
I should sue Walt Disney Company for the time wasted watching this turkey. How bad was this movie? My daughters, 8 and 5 years old, both thought this movie was bad. The acting was stiff to the point where elementary plays about 4 food groups would win Oscars before any performance in this movie. The writing was poor. You could, and we did, guess the storyline well before it occurred. I have seen stories that third graders have written that have more meat to them than Rip Girls. Rip Girls isn't even bad enough to make it fun to watch. A la Plan 9 from Outer Space or They Saved Hitler's Brain, which I'm not familiar with either of those seemingly very specific references from this man. Anyway, if the army forced Iraqi prisoners to watch this movie, they would be guilty of torture. Don't waste your time. It's too valuable for Rip Girls. I feel like for kids, this movie would have been great. It's a girl who gets to basically, like, have a house. Like, I think this is definitely one where watching it as an adult, you're just like, okay, the dad is very reasonable. I can see where he's coming from. She's being ridiculous. Like,
and at least the character, she is interested in photography. She has her own interests. She's trying new things, exploring this island, figuring out something important with her life, and connecting with her dad. Those are all positive things. I feel like it could have been delivered better or more memorably, but for a little calm, be calm movie, it's fine. So I give it a 4.5.
You can never commit. I think you've given almost every single one we've watched a half. I
do that a lot. Fine. You know what? A 4. No. Yeah.
What about 420? 4.2.
Just a 4.
Okay. Sammy?
I didn't actively hate it. Like I said earlier, I think it's boring AF, but I feel like the, like, 1 and 2 rating is for something, like, actually miserable to watch. This wasn't miserable to watch, it was just a drag. And so, I will give it a 3.
I'm giving it a 5.
What?
I think it was passable. Oh! This one, I was just hyper aware that I was an adult watching this for the first time. And it was boring, but, like, it was generally pleasant. The stepmom was super a great character. I think she redeemed it a lot for me.
So, next week we're going to be watching Miracle on Lane 1. Clean Up on Aisle 2.
Miracle in Lane 420.
Miracle.
next week we're watching Clean Up on Aisle 2.
I'd watch that.
Miracle in Lane 2.
Oh, okay. So I remember what this movie's about, and I know Frankie Muniz is in it. Lori, what will happen in this?
So it's a sequel to Miracle in Lane 1. They had a really cool lane at the grocery store that was just like the best lane.
Yes.
And now they're in the second lane, and somebody went there and they were looking for peanut butter. And they're like, oh no, we're out. And then they found the last jar, but it was just like tucked behind something else. And it was a miracle because they really needed it.
That's so close.
Accurate.
Okay, you guys. Thank you for listening to this bit of a random little crazy episode of We're Potting This Together. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at Miracle in Lane 2. If you have any questions, comments, or memories of your favorite Disney Channel original movie, you can find us on social media or send us an email at pottingthistogether@gmail.com. And if you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe or leave a review. Thank you.